Yes, Father, we come to you in Christ. Cleanse us and sanctify us with the precious blood of the Lamb. We open our heart. We long for fellowship with you. Appear to us. Speak to us in our spirit. Fill the meeting with your presence. Let us all be filled in spirit to lay hold of you in your word together. Help us. Show us what we have to do today, how we can prepare ourselves for that day, the day that is coming. We don't want to just have knowledge, but to have it in our heart. Lord, we believe you, and we put all our faith in you, our trust in you. It's good that we sang the song, Love Not the World. You know, many of us don't take this so seriously, because the world looks quite lovely, and in a certain sense, we do need some aspects or part of this world, which are the things that God has created. God created this world for us to live in, and it is beautiful. So in Switzerland, where you live, it's so lovely. You have such a good scenery, from a view from your balcony. Yeah, it's difficult to forget that view. It is beautiful because it was created by God. But on the other hand, there is a very great danger, because this earth that the Lord has created, although it is beautiful, it is in the hand of the evil one. And Satan knows how to corrupt this earth, and not only that, but to also lure us into it. He built a system on this earth, and he uses everything to capture our heart, so that slowly, bit by bit, we would be brought into this world and this system through our greed, through our fallen nature, through his poison in our flesh. He captures us and corrupts us in this way. So if we are not watchful, careful, then without even noticing it, even though we are Christians and we are believers, we will notice that our heart will be no longer for God. That means, in a way, we are no longer believers, because John was not speaking to the believers, but to us, to the children of God, to those who are born again, born of God. It is a danger that we would love the world today. And then the love of the Father is not in us anymore. And what John is saying in this epistle, 1 John chapter 2, is that the world is passing away. The world is passing away. And everything that is in the world, everything that you have, will pass away. And what remains in the end? What remains? If you take away all this, what continues to abide? We have to be smart today. Everything will pass away. It will be brought to nothing. And when that happens, what do you have left? But the word of God will abide forever. It will abide if you receive it today and act according to it and live it and make it to your treasure. He who does the will of God abides. Everything we do with Him, everything we gain of the heavenly nature of Christ, that will abide. So, Timo, the piano will not abide. Mozart will not abide. Beethoven will not remain. Tchaikovsky. All these will not abide forever. I'm not saying you shouldn't play them today. But it should not rule over your heart. That you would be so into this thing that it would replace the Father. Then it is worthless. So we must see this, recognize it. It doesn't mean we have to live like monks today, because even monks don't live as you imagine. That's actually also a deceit, a deception. So John is like a grandfather for the believers at the time, and he wrote these words out of love. And it does us well, it does us good to accept into our heart what he has written. And the scripture that we read today, even at the time of Isaiah, existed. And that means that this concept that what would come is not just a concept that is applicable today, but it was pertinent then also at the time of Isaiah, at the time of Zechariah, at the time of all the prophets. They already prophesied and foretold, and it applies not just to them at the time, but it is valid for us even more today, but also for them at that time of the prophets. But for us, it's even more pertinent because we are living in the end time today. The Lord is coming soon. At that time, at the time of the apostles, 2,000 years ago, they already awaited the coming of the Lord. The Lord himself even said, he gave the parable of the master who took a long trip, who came after a while. He didn't say when, but the master took a long trip. So the Lord already alluded to this. Can you imagine he had said to the disciples, okay, in 2,000 years he will come. Then nobody will await the coming of the Lord. If the Lord tells us, appears to us today and says, okay, I'm not coming for another 500 years, well then we will all fall asleep. Then you can continue practicing piano. Then we can all do whatever we want, whatever we like to do, because we would not await or think of his coming. But you know, that is a wrong thought, because you will not live 500 years. You might only live 50 years, maybe only 5 more months. Who knows what happens tomorrow? And then what? Your time is short. Psalm 90 says, teach me to number my days. How do you number your days? Do you number it according to what you have gained today in your job, in your work, how much money you've earned? And you count so many, you keep so many books and records for your money. But no one is keeping an account of how much Christ you have gained. And some people used to joke when we made an app about all these wonderful experiences and offerings so that we would not forget them. And people laughed at us and said, you see, now they're even making an app for the offerings. Well, I advise them to also do this so that you can know how much of this wonderful Christ you have laid hold of and experienced. Otherwise, in the end, you will have forgotten everything, and then on Saturday, you're scratching your head, oh, what can I bring to the Father? You know, in worldly things, you know exactly how much money you have in your bank account. There is a record of this, an account statement. Don't you know how much money you have in your bank account? Especially if you don't have a lot, then you know exactly how much you've got. How much of Christ have you gained this week? Let me think. Maybe a little bit. Not sure. What was it? Let me knock on my head to see if something will get shaken loose. People say, oh, it's ridiculous. They are even reading their experiences that they wrote down. Well, isn't that better than speaking nonsense when you get up and to give a testimony? You don't even know what you're trying to say and what slips out of your mouth, from your tongue. I don't know what it is. But what you have written down and offer to the Father, that's not just what you are reading, but it is what your real experience was. You know very well what you do at your job. And the boss wants to know what you have done, isn't that right? When you start working, you have to give an account. So why don't we treasure and keep what we have gained of this wonderful and rich Christ, what we have gathered of him as our riches? If you treasure your experience of Christ so much, then there's no way you would forget it, and then you can build upon it. He who has much will receive even more. To him will be given more. And to him who has little, even that which he has will be taken away from him. That's really true. If you don't pay attention, take heed and treasure that, and you just say, oh, it's just an experience, praise the Lord, the next week you will have already forgotten it. Even what you've read in the morning, you have retained nothing in the evening. Oh, what did I read this morning? Can't remember anymore. So there is the danger that nothing will abide. As James said, you read the word. You're like a man who is looking in the mirror and who goes away and forgets his image. Forget that you were looking in a mirror. Forgot what you saw in the mirror. That's totally different from a camera. If you go click, then it's in the camera. And you even treasure that and collect it in your computer on your hard drive. And you can file it away. And then you show it to people, oh, what you did, and you, especially if you took a nice vacation, you come home, and, oh, what did you see? And do you think you will say, oh, I've got nothing? No, then why do you have a camera? It's so you can remember all those things. Don't forget them. So everything that you've seen and experienced in the world, you preserve. But what you have learned of Christ, what you have experienced of Him and laid hold of, you have not preserved. So tell me, do you still want to laugh about this app and about writing down your experiences? Okay, he who laughs last laughs best. And the entire scripture warns us, this world will pass away. And that passing away is not as easy or as simple as we think, but it will pass away in a terrible way. It will not be in a pleasant manner, but there will be a judgment through the wrath of God. Because this world corrupts. Through all this corruption, this poison, this sin, evil, wickedness, it has plagued, infected this whole world. And in the end, the world will be full of pollution. It is filthy, not just environmental pollution from emissions, but it is polluted with sin. Full of sin, full of wickedness. And the eternal covenant of God, which is, we are even shedding so much innocent blood. Humanity has been changed. So because man doesn't have the ear to hear, even the earth is crying out. That's why the volcanoes are exploding, because the earth can't stand it anymore. So boom, it explodes. So doesn't that show us that the earth is even letting off steam and is shaking, quaking? And today there are so many sinkholes. The earth opens itself and just swallows up a whole house. Yeah, that's happening everywhere on the earth today. And many decades ago, it didn't happen a lot, but today, just boop, suddenly, a hole opens up. How do you say sinkhole in German? Holes in the ground. Doesn't that happen here? So even in the time of Korah, in German, the direct translation is a swallowing hole. Yeah, it's like the earth is hungry and wants to swallow everything that is wicked. There is enough fire there at the core of the earth. But we don't understand it. And we treat it all as a scientific, in a scientific way. But don't forget, the entire creation is in the hands of the Lord, and He controls it. And in the end, God uses hail, hail as big as a football, or even bigger. All of that is reserved. And then God commands the sun to draw a little bit closer to the earth. And then you cannot stand the heat anymore. God will do so many things. A great earthquake where every island will move and be shaken. And the mountains will be moved, not by faith, but by wrath. Through the wrath of God. Today you can move mountains with faith, but that's a different kind of mountain. All of this will come to pass. So many things will happen. Oh Lord. And the water that we drink will turn to blood. A third of nature, one third will be destroyed, completely destroyed. Be it on the earth or in the ocean, everywhere. So many things that we cannot imagine today will come to pass. And that is the manner in which the world will pass away. If we don't see this and realize it today in our spirit and in our heart and even in our mind, then we will not have this fear. We have no fear and we continue to love this world. But why should we realize it just to have fear of the passing away of the world? But John 17 has already told us that the Lord whom we love is not of this world. And even when he was alive, he said, "My kingdom is not of this earth." Paul said, "The last Adam, the second man, is the man from heaven." The second man, yeah. The first man was earthly. He was of the earth and is corrupted. The second man is heavenly, from heaven. And you and I, do we belong to the first or to the second? Tell me. Of course, you will say, "Oh, to the second." No one will say, "Oh, I belong to the first man." Right? But what about your daily life? Do you live like this second man? Or do you live like the first? According to the teaching or the doctrine, we are, praise the Lord, of the second man. But in practice, we live as though we were of the first man. Do you think this will be well-pleasing to the Lord? In many things, we are this way. We speak of oneness, but we are divided. We speak of love, but we hate our brothers and even cut them off. We speak of the building up, but we are destroying, tearing down. We speak of the spirit and walk according to the flesh. We speak of the truth, and yet we speak lies. Do you think I'm saying too much? I hope that with us, through the grace and the mercy of the Lord, that it will be different with us. To learn teachings and doctrines is easy, and we all have lots of practice in learning, even from kindergarten or from the time before with your parents at home. You learn to use your mind and to grasp things quickly. But how we live, that looks different. Even if we are born again in our spirit, if we don't exercise, then you cannot just live and walk and be according to the Spirit just like that. No, but godliness must be exercised. Exercise yourself unto godliness. But you don't require any exercise in being ungodly, because you were born ungodly. Did you have to learn Chinese? Yeah, if you want to learn Chinese, you have to. You need a lot of practice. And even once you've learned it, if I hear you speak Chinese, I still know you're German. I can tell from your accent. That's a German kind of Chinese. It's just how I speak German. People know, oh, he's not German. I can't get the articles right. Die, der, das. I don't know which article goes with which word. And the accusative case, the dative case, oh, it's just not quite right when I speak. Because I'm out of practice. And not only that, but I was not born a German. So you can still tell he is not a German. So can people tell today that we live in the Spirit? Yes, we have the Spirit, but can they tell from the fruit that we are living according to the Spirit? It's not just from what comes out of your mouth. Oh, I'm in the Spirit. Hallelujah, we're in the Spirit. I don't believe that anymore. You know, I used to believe that. Praise the Lord, we are in the Spirit. Yes, we have the Spirit. We are in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, in the meantime, I've gotten older. And I've realized, and I can testify, it's not so simple. Walk according to the Spirit. And how do I know if you are walking according to the Spirit? Or I am walking according to the Spirit? Paul says it's according to the fruit. You can tell from the fruit. If you walk in the flesh and not the Spirit, the works will make it clear. And that's exactly as the Lord said. You can't tell if a tree is a good tree or not, but you will know it from the fruit, if it's sweet or sour. You can only tell based on what the fruit is. If people say, we're in the Spirit, well, let me see the fruit of the Spirit. That's how we can tell. So may the Lord encourage us all. Not to be according to teaching, but according to our walk, according to the Spirit, according to the fruit. I can't say, I love the Lord just with my lips. It's very cheap. It's cheap. Talk is cheap. That's why James said, is it possible for both sweet and bitter water to come out of one spring? Or one well? I say, praise the Lord 1 minute. And in the next hour, I'm cursing. Is that possible? Can you reconcile those two things? So, Lord Jesus, we need salvation. We need healing. We need transformation in reality. And for this, we must cooperate with the Lord, work together with Him. We always have to go to this wonderful physician, Yahweh Rofeka. We have to go to Him. Lord, heal me. I've often said to the Lord, Lord, I'm not coming to you just as my Lord, but as to my physician. And when I come to you as a physician, you have no choice. You have to heal me. That's your obligation. That's your duty. A doctor can't just send you home. I don't like your face. Go home. I can sue him then, and he'll lose his license. The Lord especially said, I am the Lord, your physician. I want to be healed. I will not let him go. Even if he wants to send me home, I'll say, no, then you'll come home with me and heal me at my house. If you have a physical illness, you won't give up until it's healed, isn't that right? But when we have an inward illness in our heart or in our thoughts, our thoughts are not okay. They're not in order. We think of so many impossible things. And that's why you always misunderstand other people. You criticize them, and so many strange thoughts that we have about the saints. And always misunderstanding people. And you misunderstand your wife. You misunderstand your husband. You misunderstand the saints. You see it differently. You criticize. You don't like it. Is that not a sickness? But of yourself, you think, oh, I'm so wonderful. Isn't that a sickness? So who can heal you of this? Oh, but you don't care. You don't take care of it. You don't cry out to the Lord, Lord, I don't want to be this way. I don't want to have this. Heal me. I come to you for healing. So we must practice to work together and cooperate with the Lord in this way. And that's why Isaiah shows us so clearly, you are sick. You are sick. The head is sick. And the heart is faint. And the sickness is not just in the head, but it goes all the way to the foot, and not just the foot, but the sole of the feet that's under the feet. So to the bottom of the foot, right? Because it's the sole, not just the toes. So don't we need healing? Don't we cry to the Lord? And to love the world is also a sickness. Why don't we love the Lord? Even though we say with our mouth, Lord, we love you, but didn't the Lord already warn us of the people who honor him with their tongues, with their lips. It's so easy to sing. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And after the singing, we go home and we've already forgotten. Yeah, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. Don't you think that's how we are today? At the time of Isaiah, it was like that already. Isaiah said it through the prophets. I'm sorry, God said it through Isaiah and the prophets, and then when the Lord came on this earth, He quoted the words that Isaiah said 750 years before. Didn't the Lord also say that, what He already said once through Isaiah? And you think 2,000 years later, it's somehow different? You have a service on Sunday for an hour or two, and then all week our heart is far from Him, far removed from Him, occupied with all the things of the world. Hopefully not. That's a good hope. Isaiah says, we wait in hope. You don't just wait, but you're waiting in hope. Hope for His arm that is stretched out to help us. To hope in this wonderful physician who heals us. Hope that the Spirit would transform us. And how often have you tested yourself whether you have really been transformed or are being transformed from glory to glory? I don't want to criticize all the others. I want to criticize myself or critique myself. I want my wife to notice that I've become different. I want to see my daughter notice that my dad is different than he was 40 years ago, hopefully. If others cannot tell that you've been transformed, then there is no reality in it, no truth. Paul said, let the others see your progress. But what are we seeing today? We're actually seeing regression, backsliding. Everywhere we see regression. Everything is backwards. The good becomes evil. That is, instead of evolution, it's devolution. Which is also a kind of transformation, but it's not transformed from glory to glory. I don't know, it's from what to what. But it's more important to read this word. We are speaking from the heart. And to know these things, to speak about these things, is a good precondition for entering into this word. Because this whole world, the whole system, even though we're not embedded in it as deeply as the people of this world, we're not rooted in it or grounded in it. But don't think that the influence of this world is not working upon you. We are influenced from what we hear, from what we see, from what we experience. All the people who surround us. Look at Lot, who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you think he wasn't influenced? What about his wife? Look at his wife. Remember her. Remember Lot's wife. God extra sent this. Yeah. Think of Lot's wife. and remember Lot's two daughters. Where did they get this strange idea? Don't you think it came from some influence, some of what the people there in Sodom and Gomorrah were doing? And therefore Moab and Ammon, although they are related, they are not legitimate. So we all must learn that we are not free of the influence of this world. We cannot say this. And if you observe long enough, then if you're influenced and surrounded by it enough, you also become desensitized. And you say, well, that's just how it is. Maybe we're not doing the same things as the people in the world, but we think, oh, that's just how it is. But it cannot be just how it is. My name is So. That's how I know it cannot just be like so. May the Lord really have mercy on us. Our spirit would remain sharp, sensitive, be strengthened to really resist, to react, to stand on the side of the Lord. We are in the world, but as the Lord said, we are not of this world. Just like our Lord, when he was on this earth, he lived like a man on this earth. But the earth and the world and sin could not penetrate him. Everyone tried, but he did not sin. He had no sin, and sin was not in him, and could not enter into this wonderful humanity, could not penetrate. And that's what it means to be in the world, but not of the world. But if I'm in the world, and the world is able to enter into me, that's not good. Maybe not 100%, but even if it's just 5%, and then it creeps up to 10%, and it'll continue to increase 20%, it's already not good. Even just a little bit of the world permeating us or penetrating us is not good. And then it's even worse if it increases. If water starts to enter into a ship, then eventually the ship will be baptized because it will be underwater. And in the end, you won't be able to separate the ship from the ocean. So is that enough? Amen. So in Isaiah 24 to 27, half of it speaks of the coming day of wrath. Chapter 24 and chapter 25, the Hebrew translation is actually speaking of the earth, not just the land, but the whole earth. It's not wrong to say that the land will be judged, but if you just say the land, you think of you don't think of the entire populated earth, the whole earth. So when we read these chapters, we have to see that in German, the word land is used, but we have to see it actually means the entire earth, the entire globe. (Laughs) In German, the word is, the literal translation is the circle of earth. So it's saying it's not, the earth is not flat, it's the whole globe, the entire earth. Well, you can actually read it yourself. I don't have to explain or interpret any of this. Doesn't require explanation. What should I say? Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste. Isaiah 24:1. He will distort its surface and scatters abroad its inhabitants. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the creditor, so with the debtor. Exactly when the, like when the sixth seal is opened, from the highest to the lowest of man, there's no distinction when it comes to being laid waste. Well, doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, on that day, when this day arrives, you can drive a Mercedes, or you can be walking, or you can be riding a bicycle. It doesn't make a difference. There is no more difference. Today, we draw a distinction. We distinguish whether you're driving a German car or a Japanese car. But in that day, when that day arrives, it doesn't make a difference. There's no difference. The earth will be entirely emptied and utterly plundered. For the Lord has spoken this word, which means it will surely come to pass, because what God says will not pass away. And that's what we have to keep in our heart. The Lord has spoken it, and so He will do it. Lord Jesus. These are not words of man. The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. The earth is also defiled under its inhabitants. So, yeah, we've even defiled this whole earth because they have transgressed the laws. Is there any land that is not transgressing the law of God? Not just the laws of the nations, but the law of God. So much lying, murder, idol worship against God. Nobody cares for his neighbor anymore today, listens to anyone else. We rebellion against parents, against the government. And what the president of the U.S. says, everyone is worked up. No one listens or takes heed. And now is trying to assassinate the king, the president, or impeach him, bring him down. Or living in a time where no one takes heed of the law anymore. They have changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. God created man and woman, and now they want to do away with man and woman. Some people even said, why should God be male? And some translations want to change it. Well, how do they want to change it? How can they change it? And today a man doesn't want to be a man anymore, but wants to be a woman. And the woman says, I don't want to be a woman, I want to be a man. This is confusion. And the earth is crying out. Because Adam comes from the earth, that means earth. And the earth feels like it is being put to shame. It is ashamed. What are these people doing? Broken the everlasting covenant. They want to change everything, turn the good into bad, and the bad is tolerated and even repeated. People want to turn everything upside down. The head will be at the bottom and the feet will be at the top. And women will reign and not men. Everything is turned around from what God ordained. That's how it is today. See, even the children want to reign now. That's what Isaiah said. No, please don't send the children away. Don't send them away. But it's just an example. Yeah, now the children want to also rule. Everything is turned around. Yeah, it's perverted. And therefore the curse has devoured the earth. And those who dwell in it are desolate. There will be a day where we have to pay the price. At some point, they will have to pay. We don't think of it, but we have to take heed of what the word says. Don't just speak of teaching, but have no inward sense. That's not the point. Then you can just sit at home and read this. You don't have to be here, really. Ask my children. I told them, no need to come here. Then my daughter said, well, then why are you going? why don't you stay home too? And if you're going, then why do you tell us that we shouldn't go? Well, I said, you can listen to the live stream. Then maybe they'll say you can also give the message and speak through Skype. Yeah, he has an ear, can hear. So, doesn't make a difference if you're there or not. Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate, or in German it says, those who dwell in it must pay for it. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned and few men are left. So it will come to pass. So I think I don't need to read any more here. You can read it yourself. But with the context of the fellowship we had, if you read these words, then they will have meaning to us. Then we will notice and realize, Lord, I don't want to love the world. For us not to love the world doesn't mean not to live normally in a normal way today. But it just means what it says. Do not love the world. That's not hard to understand, is it? We just use what is necessary for us to live. But anything beyond that will cause this greed in my heart to grow. You know, the heart is so sensitive. The more you have, the more you want to have. Because this heart of ours has a sickness. It's called covetousness, and enough is never enough. Because your appetite grows. If you eat more, you also have a greater appetite. And then in the end, you eat and become fat. And the less you eat, the less of an appetite you have. So the lesson is eat normally, not too much and not too little. Eat normally. Today we're not normal anymore. Either you're dieting, and in the end you become a stick figure. That's not good either. And the one who isn't dieting is just eating and eating and eating, and then you turn into a ball. That's how our heart is with regard to this world. If we don't pay attention and live in a normal, reasonable way, then in the end this covetousness in us will grow and it will become an idol worship to us. And I mean idol worship not in the sense that we are worshiping demons, but that God is replaced in your heart. And instead of loving the Father, having the love of the Father in you, you love something else. And that is not good. Don't underestimate covetousness. Recall what Paul said. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Does he say it's little gain? No, he says it's great gain. But you cannot reconcile godliness with covetousness. But this combination of godliness with contentment, that's a really good complement to one another. God's word is full of wisdom. And so to truly lay hold of Christ, we need the word. If we don't have the word, then we have certain experiences of Christ. Oh yeah, I had a flat tire and someone came and helped me suddenly. Oh, that's an experience of Christ. But in your heart, you still have a flat tire. Yep, all the air has gone out of you. We must experience Christ according to his word, reality. Are you godly? Are you living Christ day by day? Or do I need a certain experience? Or do I live in the constant awareness? It's no longer I, but Christ in me, in my thoughts, in my heart. What I desire. How I speak at home, how I behave. And so on, our walk, so that we could bring forth this fruit, a life that is well-pleasing to God, a life that is fully absolute, just as Christ, our burnt offering, was. And we need all these things. We need the word for all these things. The new wine fails, the vine languishes, all the merry-hearted sigh. Verse 7. O Lord, the mirth of the tambourine ceases. So there is no more joy. This pleasant joy of the Lord is gone. Normal joy is gone. You just see this outward joy, like on the football field. Stuttgart versus Hamburg. Then, oh, people are cheering and all this outward cheering and joy.
Oh,
Lord. Strong drink is bitter to those who drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it's a lot. We don't have to read it. Better for us to read later, starting Isaiah 25 and 26. That's better. And in the end, it says that Israel will be saved. But only after everything has been judged. And maybe in the next meeting we will read in Zechariah to understand this more. Actually, when people say, that's the Old Testament, that doesn't apply to us anymore, that is a great falsehood. This will come to pass. It will happen in our time. It's pertinent. God's word is never old, never grows old. It applies. It's valid for all time. All scriptures say this in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God breathed. It's always current. It's always pertinent. Don't forget this. And it is profitable. Even today, it was profitable at the time of Paul who wrote it, and even more so for us today. So even the scripture that we read today, well, you're all here, so you tell me. Didn't the first part of Isaiah help you? Or did it not help you at all? And if it didn't help you at all, then why are you back? Why are you here? Oh, then really? Really, you don't have to be here. Oh, I'm happy if we have no more conferences. And then I can stay home. Really. But that's not a good happiness to have. That's not the joy in the Lord. That's not the joy of salvation. It's the joy of laziness. So praise the Lord. Okay, time is up. Let's take a break. Amen.